people who know something about scripture, the Apostle Paul, is always having to answer some accusations from individuals there. They're always accusing some. First of all, they even said that he was not an authentic apostle because he'd never seen Christ in the flesh, and so we tried to say that he wasn't an authentic person, and they ran into some issues. His critics, you always gonna have some critics. I don't care what you do, you always have critics. I don't care how well you do it, there's always gonna be one somebody, you know. And you have to learn how to be functional in the face of the critics. And they accused him of they said that Paul was suffering because of something that he did wrong.
Okay.
But the fact is Paul did not suffer because of what he did wrong. Paul suffered because of what he did right.
That's right.
They didn't kill Dr. King nor Malcolm because of what they did wrong.
That's right.
They killed him because of what they did right.
That's true.
And I want Mr. Keith to know that, and I want all of us to know,
okay,
that what they levied against the nation, come on,
and what
you suffer is not because of what you do wrong.
That's right.
But it's because of what you do right, and it explains why a lot more people don't do right.
Wait a second.
Because it's easy, you know, because see, if you live by a conviction, and you make a commitment, you're going to always suffer.
That's right.
For any conviction you hold and any commitment that you make.
Yes.
And that's why more people don't make strong commitments.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why there's some people would rather shack with you than marry you.
That's true, absolutely. We're going there.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's no commitment. A commitment requires that you suffer some things. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, and so the reason, and I guess I'm sharing that, and I wish I was community and socially articulate.
You are.
I really wish I was.
You are.
Because sometimes I get mad. You know, when I look at, and I share that because when I looked at the what's been burning in my heart, listen, is that they had some facts on Paul because Paul was suffering.
That's right.
Okay. Fact was that he was suffering. But see, facts always have to be evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's why it's dangerous when you get caught up in the criminal justice system. Because criminal justice is built on facts.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you got the facts don't mean you got the truth.
That's right.
And sometimes facts make it to the witness. Facts make it to court, but truth never gets on the witness stand. Because attorneys ain't after truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Criminal justice system is not after truth, they're just after the facts.
That's right.
The fact is, somebody got murdered.
That's the fact.
Fact is, Chauncey Bailey got murdered. The
That's
truth true. Is, the nation didn't have nothing to do with that.
That's right. Come on!
That's the truth.
I don't want to hear that.
Okay? And the fact is somebody black killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the people we know didn't have nothing to do with it. The truth of the matter is that this brother, come on, has done nothing but right by his community.
Yeah.
This brother has done nothing but fight for what's right. And we don't need to let that accusation go down.
That's right.
Come on, without saying something. So when, you know, so when they attack you, they're attacking all of us,
and
we want you to know that you are not standing alone with that.
All right.
All right. We really appreciate everything that you do in defense of your people. So I want us to give, for all of us who are here, let's give this brother a real big hand, Mr. Keith Muhammad.
Yeah.
bear witness that there is but one God. And I bear witness that Abraham, that Moses, that Jesus, that Muhammad are his messengers.
That's right.
I thank him for each and every one of you. And we are honored to stand together with us serving the best that we can to ensure the truth is lifted from the street. For the scripture says that justice stands afar off, that equity cannot enter because truth is laying in the street. Mm-hmm. There are families of ours that are suffering throughout the area who need our assistance in lifting the truth from the earth and rising it up that it might be judged appropriately. Mm-hmm. So we are honored to have with us the family of Brownie Pope, and our sister Pope is here with us. To have with us the family of Brother Oscar, whose case we've taken on 1,000 miles per hour, and Uncle Bobby Sanderson. We are honored that there are so many activists who have given so much of their time. For I received the news articles initially via the internet stating that the change of venue motion being made by Johannes Mezzali's attorney, Michael Rains, as it was being covered in some of the local media. Attached with it is a 75-page filing. And as I received a piece of email from our Minister of Information here, Dave, the Minister of Information, who has recorded faithfully all of our meetings, many of the public hearings, and I think it was Dave that acquired the 75-page document and posted it on indiebay.org. And you have to know, to even acquire these kinds of documents requires a sacrifice. I don't know what it cost him. I do know that when we were looking for the transcript of the preliminary hearing for Johannes Mezzali's trial, that it was Councilperson Brooks who donated her effort to secure those transcripts and help to make them available to each and every one of us so that all of us should not have to go down to that courtroom and give them a dime. You with me now? It hurt me. I hated going to BART meetings and having to pay $20 to sit there and watch them lie to me. And come down and get my car and it cost me $17.50 to get out of the lot to talk to some folks that were lying to us at the BART headquarters. That's painful. We've already endured enough pain and need not individually to have to go down to the courthouse and each of us spend $50, $75, $100. No, they get enough money from you in parking tickets. They get enough money from you in city taxes. We want justice, not a bill. And so we're thankful that Dave took whatever process that he took to secure the information, a 75-page filing, so lengthy that when I received it, I browsed it very quickly. We were on our way for a television recording, and I didn't have a chance to study it very closely at that time. However, I can tell you with what I saw, I already could see that the attorney of Johannes Mezzali, he must be the most beloved of any attorney of police officers. In that, we have seen in this perfect storm of issues that have occurred with the murder of Oscar Grant, how fast law enforcement officers will lie. We have also heard in testimony how their attorneys helped them to craft their lies before they arrived to the preliminary hearing. So we heard more than one officer testify that the reason that his current testimony does not match his original report, it's because first the original report said nothing. See no evil, hear no evil. In fact, Officer Domenici said in the original report and in testimony that she did not know who had been shot that night, even though she was 10 feet from the shooting scene. Now, what human being can know that somebody has been shot within 10 feet of their body and not know which somebody that was? She didn't run away, that I'm aware of, when the shot fired. She stayed right there. She maintained her post. She watched the backs of her officers. There is no way that Oscar is shot and she could not have known who was shot, but she testified she didn't know. Look, these officers went to trial and admitted that they didn't know what to say until their attorneys showed them the videotape. One of them said her attorney showed her that Oscar was reaching to grab her. Peroni said his attorney told him that Oscar tried to kick him, not once, but twice. Now, the difference between law enforcement lies in this case and law enforcement lies in other cases clearly is videotape. So that every deed was compared to what our eyes, what the judge's eyes, and soon what a jury's eyes will see. And the question becomes, should the jury believe their eyes or believe their lies? That's the question on the jury. Should the jurist believe their own eyes, or should they believe the lies being told by officers whose words are the opposite of what's on the videotape? And this is why Attorney Raines has decided that in this phase of the trial, the most significant matter is not what his client did. It's what you and I are doing right now. We're now the town hall on trial. Give yourself a big round of applause. We're going to win this one. This is one that's a win-win. There's no lose-in. Because last time I checked, we have the First Amendment right to the freedom of speech. And there's not a trial in the country that is not subjected to the First Amendment rights of citizens who have opinions on what have happened. And if they were to have asked the victims, the family of Oscar, on January the 2nd, what should be done, I'm sure they would have said, arrest the officers and those involved with shooting our brother's son and father. I'm sure that those that were on the BART train that night, if they were asked, would have said, arrest the shooter. Right. If they felt that it was legally possible to arrest a police officer, well, is it legally possible? The answer is yes. Johannes Mezzali is not the first officer arrested for committing a crime while on duty.
That's right.
He's just the first in the state of California that the evidence was heavy enough that demanded that the judges with their hearts and minds and eyes open carry this trial to the charge of murder in the state of California. Now, to be clear, we have done no wrong. Nothing. Not an iota of wrong. If anything, the governor, the county supervisors, the city council, and the administration of BART should be thanking us for all of our fine participation. If anything, I've spoken with BART directors who had very little knowledge of the details of the case that was before them in the murder of Oscar Grant and would come and thank us for letting them to know what, quite frankly, they should have known, but because of the asinine way that law enforcement officers are protected by legal institutions, the directors who hire them could not have access to information concerning the discipline of law enforcement officers under their directorship. Now, to be quite clear with you, you know our brothers do a little security. We love them. Give them a round of applause. They keep the town hall safe and secure. They keep the BART meeting safe and secure. They keep the rallies outdoors safe and secure, but they're under my directorship.
Okay.
And if they go wrong in any way, shape, or form, you owe it to me to let me know. Then I would owe it to you to correct the wrong.
That's right.
But in the case of BART police, there is no system for the correction of the wrong. So one man is killed, and they talk about it a little bit. Another man is killed, and they talk about it a little bit. But when a third man is killed, let me tell you something about numbers. Three, in spiritual terms, represents trial. So when you see it in a Christian context and you hear Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you're dealing with three. Three represents a trial. And by the third strike, they say you spend 25 years for the rest of your life in jail in California state law. But this is BART's third homicide. What is the price for the third homicide? And on this third homicide, unlike the first two, the evidence is so heavy that a blind person could see it and a deaf person could hear. So for Mr. Raines to argue that we don't know the details of the case and we're talking in the absence of facts, well, do the Raiders play tomorrow? And there'll be people up in the stands giving their opinions.
Right.
Who do they play? Kansas City Chiefs. How do you know? Now, there will be 40,000, 50,000, whatever the numbers are, opinions in the stands. Now, I played ball and coached for a number of years, and I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that it matters not a single opinion in the stand. It does not affect the game. Now, if the folk in the stand make enough noise that the quarterback can't be heard, then the team's learned, okay, we got to learn how to overcome this. Mm-hmm. We got skills with sign language. Yeah, fine. There's noise in the stand, but you know something? There's no noise in the courtroom.
That's right.
There's nothing that we can do in a courtroom but serve as witnesses of the proceeding that is our civil right to participate. So for Mr. Raines to argue about Yvette's argument, or my argument, or Dave's argument, let's tell Raines to come to the town hall and debate if that's what he wants to do. But to take up 75 pages of the people's time, of the judge's valuable time, to quote what we may have said in a meeting. You know, the beauty of it, I found, however, was everything he quoted, we were right. I don't know what he hoped to convince that judge of, that we have opinions. Just as every fan in every game has an opinion, just as people have in every important case have an opinion, but having opinion does not preclude justice.
Right.
Now, when they screen jurors, they can ask jurors. However, let's be clear. What Mr. Raines offered was a perfect insult to the democratic system that we live in. And if the system abides by his offer, then we can all leave this place knowing that there will never be justice in America. If you can say in an open argument that 98%, I think he said, of black people in Alameda County have already determined that Yohannes Medley is guilty. Well, stop it. 98% of black people in Alameda County don't even know who Yohannes Medley is. By the way, I don't know if the audience is somewhere 90-something percent black right now. And I guarantee you, though we're all 90-something percent black, we don't agree on everything. Is that right?
That's right.
Some of us eat meat. Some of us are vegetarians. Some of us like the Raiders. Some of us like the 49ers. Some of us don't like football at all and get tired of hearing about it. So the fact that many of us are black does not mean we can't make a fair decision. In fact, I would say it's quite the contrary. I would say we're more fair about our decision making than anybody else. That's why after Oscar was killed, there were many who were frightened to step up because they thought that Oscar must have done something wrong. And some posed the question outwardly, what did he do? See, 98% don't think that Yohannes Medley is guilty. 98% don't even know who Yohannes Medley is. I'm confident of that. Yes. And while it is true, this is a high-profile case. Every county has high-profile cases. The problem is, his allegation is such that he would lead one to believe that Brother Keith and Pastor Humphreys and Yvette and Dave and Christoph and a few others have more influence on Alameda County juries than a system that's 200 plus years old. I appreciate you flatter me, Mr. Raines, that you would suggest that because we had a few town hall meetings that people in this county don't feel safe. When I went to the trial, Sister Beatrice, Dr. Tosco, Brother Jack, and others who stood out in line, those lines were long to get in the morning. There were jurors and those having their own other cases were lined up to get through the metal detector, the line from the front door all the way out to the corner of 12th and, what is that, 4th. Long lines of people. They weren't afraid because the Revolutionary Book Group had a sign up that said the whole damn system is guilty. They lined up, they drank their sodas, they sipped their coffee, and went on in the courtroom. It didn't frighten them that there was a banner with the pictures of those that have been murdered by police in the past. That didn't frighten them. Some were happy that they weren't on the banner themselves. So the idea that a little activism from a country that was founded on activism and even attempted to display that activism against President Obama just a few weeks ago. They said, we're doing the Tea Party again. So let me get this straight. You can have a gathering and share all of your opinions. Among them, some declaring that President Obama is not a citizen, that he's an Afro-socialist. Then you had a pastor out in Arizona said, I pray that he die and not of natural causes. And one of his congregants goes to a speech with a rifle strapped to his back. Now, they got a heck of a nerve looking at poor people who have suffered law enforcement brutality for hundreds of years. And when a case arises in our city and we speak to it, the problem is they want us to continue to act like slaves. And the reality is slavery has been over a long time. And you'll not find us tap dancing because Attorney Raines has said so. Now, I want that we should hear some of the thoughts around the change of venue motion that are being kicked around by a number of us. Because we're very concerned that this trial not be moved. But rest assured, no matter what happens with the trial, justice will be served. Judgment is in the hands of God. Can I say that in church, Pastor? That's not a threat from me. And if anyone feels threatened by it, tell them to go burn their Bibles and get rid of their Qurans, because the judgment of God is literally in the book. And it cannot be escaped. Because I heard Minister Farrakhan say that justice lays down with you at night. And justice wakes up with you in the morning. And if Attorney Raines is having a hard time sleeping, it's because he knows that he just produced 75 pages of lies to drop on a judge, hoping to find some technicality to move this case to a place where it would not be fairly tried. Now, let me just add this. The fairness factor does not only belong with the accused. The state represents the people, not the governor, not the attorney general, the people. The district attorney's office owes it to the Grant family to fully dialogue over strategy to the degree that they can without jeopardizing their case. The district attorney's office owes it to the community to fully vet the fact, as David pointed out, that filing was factually challenged.
I can't remember what part you're
there were to. Many, he said, factual errors in the filing. Pastor has alluded to one. That one that he's alluding to is an effort that's been made to attach all revolutionary action that has occurred in the history of Oakland to this trial. So here comes Mr. Raines. He opens his filing with the history of law enforcement and black community conflict in Oakland. And we thank him. He just bore witness to what we've been saying. He didn't need to take 10 pages of his filing to say that. They could have got the tape from the town hall, since they got them anyway. Right. Which only says to us that whenever we speak, this is not private, this is public. And even if you thought that it were private, know that we're guided that we don't say anything in the private that we're not willing to face in the public. Right. So when I read the quotes that were derived by Mr. Raines in the 75-page filing, that was a good quote. Go ahead, brother. Oh, Reverend Buford, you got that one right. Pastor Smith, I'm with you. I hope they walk in the courtroom and read all that stuff in front of a jury. But those things won't reach the jury. Those things will reach Judge Jacobson. But now, for him to take 10 pages, whatever the number of pages were, I didn't count them, to recount the formation of the Black Panther Party, what does that have to do with Johannes Mezelie's shooting Oscar Grant? He goes through the migrant black population moving into Oakland after World War II. This is in the filing. This is why it's 75 pages. I think Dave got it right. He's trying to put the judge to sleep going through all the material. So unless the judge is interested in Panther history, it goes through the fact that because of an increasing population that the city of Oakland reached into the South at the height of segregation to hire new police officers. Looked like they must have even reached into Germany, because that's where Mezelie's family came from.
So they reached into the American South and at some point reached into Germany.
Yes, that's what they did.
Whatever that means. Now, they're now describing the elements that produced the Black Panther Party. Well, okay, Mr. Raines, that's nice. You went to Black Studies 101. Maybe you took a class with Carol Ward Allen at Laney College. I don't know where he got the information from. It wasn't inaccurate. But what does that have to do with whether or not a police officer can receive a fair trial? He alleges that in the city of Oakland, a police officer cannot get a fair trial. But how soon we forget that four OPD officers had warrants issued for their arrest. One of them, so frightened by the charges, fled the country and has yet to return. Three of them stayed and confronted their accusers. While the city was negotiating settlements that helped eliminate a number of the witnesses from the trial. Y'all with me now? Cost the city millions of dollars in loss from civil suit. But when those officers made it to trial in the city of Oakland, in the county of Alameda, they were acquitted. Now these officers were charged with criminalizing falsely, arresting falsely, planting false evidence, giving false reports, making false arrests of over 100 people. They got a fair trial in Alameda County. So even the notion that a fair trial can't be had in Alameda County, consider the facts. And maybe Yvette will speak to some of this. He did a survey of 400 people in a county of 1.5 million. That's not a big survey. That's a small sample. Well, if you did, you'd have told him Johannes Mesley should be arrested and is guilty. He might have asked you. He may have asked me. He might have taken his polling from listening to the town hall records. We all know the man is guilty. But the reality is that that 400 sample is a very small sample. And depending on where the sampling was taken can determine the results. What I've seen of it thus far is not only is it a small sampling, but we don't know how much of the sampling were black people. And by the way, is it lawful in a legal procedure to do a sampling where your investigators are looking just for black people? I just have a question. You know, when you get a job, they can't hold your race against you, creed, class, or color. I just wonder if the pollsters were looking specifically in crowds on the BART train or on the campuses or on San Pablo for black people. They didn't tell us how many black people they even spoke to. They just said 98% of them said that Mesley is guilty. Well, so what we say in the absence of facts? Are you saying that we are not big enough to consider the facts? Are you alleging, Mr. Raines, that 98% of black people do not have the legal maturity to follow the judge's instructions as a person that should sit on a jury? Is that what he's saying? Now, he's already said that when black jurors come in, I am going to challenge them. You need to challenge the white ones. But I guess he missed all of them. through the hundreds of years of kangaroo courts. It's not to insult anybody Caucasian, but there's been many years where black people have suffered from white juries unjustifiably. That's why many of us are already against the death penalty, because we tend to recognize that the system that have implemented the death penalty against people, when you look up and find that death row is black, that three strike cases are black, that the implementation of the death penalty are black, overwhelmingly. Yet in this country, where there have been countless thousands of black people killed without even an arrest made, no apology given. That's why the NAACP was formed in the first place, because we were victims of over 5,000 lynchings in the cities and states in the South without an arrest. And some of the lynch victims had already been arrested for other charges. And juries and judges and law enforcement officers turned their backs, opened up the jail cell, and allowed lynch mobs to come in before trial and murder our people. These are historical facts. I don't want anybody to be alarmed or offended by it. That's why it's a perfect insult that Mr. Raines would allege that a black jury cannot be fair when black people have suffered from unfair white juries for 400 years. That's just a fact. Which is why when O.J. Simpson was acquitted in 95, that's why there was so much celebration. We couldn't believe our ears. We couldn't believe our eyes. Like with this case, we don't know the facts. We're not the investigator. We're watching the trial like everybody else. But so many juries have hung black people out to die that when O.J. Simpson was acquitted, it wasn't as a result of our knowledge of the facts. It was a result of our pain of having suffered 400 years without a fair trial. For all those years, we felt we could never receive a fair trial. So for someone to allege, I saw something from Rush Limbaugh today on the internet, where they're now trying to rise up that old argument that came out of the Bay Area, the Bakke decision, and are accusing President Obama of reverse racism. Is that what Mr. Raines' argument is? Reverse racism? We can't reverse racism. It's been here too long. If it were reversed, things would be better. So we can't reverse what they've done. The system itself has admittedly been abundantly abusive to black people in America. Admittedly. Now, that being said, we want to begin to strategize knowing that the change of venue motion will be introduced in a courtroom on October the 2nd. We want to understand the merits of the case as best we can, but I just want to say, don't be frightened in any way, shape, or form to speak what you believe to be the truth of the case. Mr. Raines has no authority over your mouth. He has no control over our pen. And the fact that we all believe that Johannes Mesley should have been arrested on January the 1st is a good thing. We'll say it to the day that we die. He should have been arrested on January the 1st. Yeah. So it took him longer than that to figure it out, and as soon as you figured it out, he should have been arrested. The problem was, he, like that OPD officer that never came back to face the Ryder trial, he went on the run. Then when they go to arrest him, his attorney argues that they should not have talked to him when they arrested him. I wish I could say to the police officers when they pulled me over. Don't talk to me. We get pulled over. Don't talk to me. What would happen if I said that to a police officer? That first, they might have just been warning me that my tire pressure was low or something. But it would create a conflict that would more than likely, since I'm a victim of racial profiling like many of you, would more than likely end up with an arrest on resisting arrest charges. Look, I'm arrested for resisting arrest. I don't know of a case. And I know many brothers that get arrested. We love our brothers. They're not guilty, they're arrested. And it seems like every time a brother gets arrested, he gets a resisting arrest charge. It's like routine. It may not carry weight in a trial, but any brother been arrested, got arrested for resisting arrest while you were being arrested? Don't raise your hand. All these brothers don't want to share their histories. But as soon as you get arrested, as soon as you ask the officer why you're a resisting arrest charge. This is very common. So, since we know that this is a system that had not worked in our favor, we've done more favors to the system in this case than in any other case. We have helped Bart more than any other public has ever helped them. We pointed out for them what was wrong. That's what's helping them. Now, whether or not they accept that help is another matter. But we've given them more help than any institution of government could have paid us for. So, simply stated, the fact that Mr. Raines has made a filing changes very little with what we have to do. We move wise. We move with calculation. Most importantly, we move with unity. And we do not allow any allegations made in Raines' statements to cause us any reason to doubt one another. If the old song says, if you don't know me by now, say it again. If you don't know me by now, you'll never, ever, ever know me. So to take words that are out of place, out of order, out of context, and false. Let me just say this in defense of the wonderful followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because they've been here at every town hall meeting. If it's just us, we town hall. And I think we should give a round of applause to the wonderful believers from the Nation of Islam that have sacrificed their time for justice for the people. Well, do you know that the chief of police of Oakland, when our brother, Chauncey Bailey, was murdered, made a press conference the morning of the arrest, and in that press conference, he went out of his way. He didn't have to. He went out of his way to declare that an arrest had been made, investigations are continuing, and that their investigations do not include the Nation of Islam and should not be perceived as investigations against Muslims. Y'all with me now? He stated it publicly. And did it not once, but twice. So you can hear and read his remarks. This was done because we already knew that our friends in the media and our friends in law enforcement, do you know that when some people went into a liquor store, we had our first town hall here on the liquor store issue. And when some young people went into those liquor stores, then, like now, had nothing to do with the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
We came out of a spiritual meeting one night, and there were four or five that fly. That's a fly beyond.
It won't give up.
We came out of our spiritual meeting one night, and there were four squad cars parked in front of the building. They didn't knock on our door. They were just out there. Now look next door, and there's a liquor store in the corner. Who are friends of ours, by the way. Now, we're not a friend of liquor, but we are a friend of the store owners. We're neighborly. I walked in the store and asked the family that owns the store. It's one of the few black-owned stores in the city, by the way. I said, did you call them? He said, no, they just came. Why? I guess they figured they're watching you all. So I took the store owner and went out to the police cars. Tell them we don't have a problem with each other. And when I spoke with Chief Tucker about it, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know. Well, let me get this straight. You had four squad cars on a corner. You don't get that many squad cars for a homicide. Now you got four squad cars on a corner. This is why it's important, Pastor, that we speak to the issue. Because there are those that would use this to provide the argument that Oakland is so wild-eyed, radical, Black Panther, Nation of Islam, and bammed up that you can't find a fair trial. They haven't had a problem with us. They haven't had a problem with BAM. The only problem with us is that we're intelligent enough to speak to them on what the law is and how it should be practiced. That's their problem with us. That we're clear enough to say there's a videotape in the shooting of Brownie Paul. That we're wise enough to ask, where is the tape? That we're intelligent enough to presume that if the tape shows guilt of Brownie Paul, we would already have seen it. But if the tape shows guilt or wrongdoing on the part of the police officer, then we may never see it for years.
Absolutely.
It will take a Freedom of Information Act filing to get that tape. If we don't find it in the public hand or in the hands of attorneys very quickly. Well, that's simply to say, their problem is not that the Nation of Islam has been in the Bay Area since the 70s, you got it wrong anyway. Been in the Bay Area since the 50s.
That's right.
Moot point. But as you said, it's factually incorrect. So my appeal to us is, don't back off. Organize. Continue to mobilize. And demand justice. We simply temper our words with wisdom. But whatever it is that we learn of the factual basis of a case, we're learning it through the public record and have every right to speak to what we learn. And so I want to bring before us one of our community activist groups that are working to clearly understand the merits of the case as it has unfolded, has hosted community tribunals to properly educate the public. And by the way, proper education is the basis of a real democracy. So the act and the works of them and others is the work that secures the freedom of people by allowing us to make electoral decisions on the base of knowledge and not on the base of feelings and of fear. And this is why we're very proud to be very close to these cases, to look at them, to study them, and the fact that there are attorneys that are offering their thoughts to the process and are willing to learn from other people. That's a wonderful mixture of how an attorney should function, should be humble enough to hear from their clients and from witnesses, and not too proud to change even if what they thought was best. If they learn better, then accept better. And one of the things we hope as we proceed is that the district attorney won't allow Mr. Raines to pull the wool over his eyes and produce a fear factor about the community activism that exists. Our activism has only produced peace. So join me in receiving our sister from By Any Means Necessary. Please receive Yvette Falarca and Barry.